First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 13th, 2009. Celebrate His Triumph.
Christmas is a tremendous time. Christmas is not only the time when Jesus came to live in this world among us. It's a time that is rich in Bible teaching and Bible truth. If you look in some theology books, you'll see that when Jesus left heaven and came to live among us, we speak about the kenosis, where Jesus gave up the right to be worshipped freely as God by all the angels that surrounded His Father's throne, and instead walked among us, walked among people who didn't often give Him the respect that was deserved. We talk about Jesus leaving heaven, the one who was truly divine, and then was born as a human, taking on human nature. We call that the hypostatic union, the joining of the divine nature and the human nature in one person, that unique Jesus Christ. But really what's most important is the simplicity of the day. Elmer Magnuson is going to come up in just a moment and speak about the very simple truth, the power, the triumph of Jesus Christ. And he's going to be basing this on, again, one of the very simple passages of Scripture. Will you join with me reading together John chapter 3, verse 16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Elmer, come on up and tell us about celebrating His triumph.
When asked to consider a Christmas challenge to anyone, this time it really, really threw me for a loop, because I hadn't considered talking to anyone about what is indeed the challenge of Christmas. To me, the challenge of Christmas is the celebration of His triumphs. The celebration of His triumph. For God so loved this world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes or trusts or puts his faith in that Son will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For the rest of his life, glory with God. Even the celebration of His triumph in heaven. God did love this world. The more I look at it, went over that particular passage, John 3:16, and all of those verses in the book of Romans that have to do with the triumph of God, all of His victories over man, all of the victory over sin, God did it because He loved. How are you doing? How are you and I really, really doing when we say that we love God? Or yes, we know what Christmas is all about. Do we really? Do we really understand what we're celebrating? We do it with money. We do it with gifts. We do it with prose and poetry. We do it with so many things. We do it with the hugs and the kisses to our loved ones. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Have a good one. You never hear me say it too often after that particular day. But God loved. This world He put together, He loved so much, that I really can't imagine a greater love anywhere in the world. I one time thought that a woman's or a mother's love for her child was indeed the epitome of love, the epitome of respect, until I sit down and I look at how much God loves this world. But man had another plan. Man fell into sin. And when man walked out of the garden, he left God aside. And he went out to do his own thing. But even then, God loved. God had to provide a way for sin. And he did. He chose his one and his only son. No way to measure, and in any other respect, no way to measure God's love for Jesus Christ other than his performance, his triumph, not only here on this earth, but his triumph in glory, his triumph in heaven. It speaks about it all. His son lived only for a period of 30, 32, 33 years, and his son died. He died a horrible death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 2, 3, and 4 tell us what it's all about. And sometimes I think of the audacity that may sound like coming from our tongues when we say that, wow, you know, this is the good news. The good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin according to Scripture. And he was buried. And he was raised again from the dead according to the Scripture. This is the gospel. This is the good news that saves men's souls. Sometimes that's enough to, when you sit down and you think of that at the end of the kitchen table, trying to figure out how I can add anything to that, or how I can make it more poignant, or how indeed I can make it something that a man down in Tully's at the coffee counter or someone else would want to reconsider and accept for his life. Is that real? God loved so much. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. Sin always has a payday. Always. It always has a road that causes pain and despair and anguish. There's no way out except through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And all we have to do is to take that heart that God has put within each and every one of us at our creation, take that heart and indeed put it to prayer. And even if we have to go to the point of begging the Holy Spirit of God to take a hold of my heart and make it right this day, make it a heart that you, the Holy Spirit, can indeed minister to and turn to Jesus Christ. Because God loved. This is the gospel that saves men's souls. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. There are none righteous. No, not one. outside of Jesus Christ and eternal life, we have nothing, nothing outside of Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. When I think of the next simple point of a four-point message, man has to make the decision. Look what we have done so far. How are we doing? Look at our politics. Look at the way we treat others, our brothers. Look at our selfishness. Consider what you and I consider love and put it alongside of Him according to the Scripture. Without Jesus Christ, you and I do not stand a chance. We do not stand a chance. I'm impressed in the book of Mark when the women, after the third day of the crucifixion, came to the Savior to do the things in the tomb that they felt obligated to do. And sitting right on a little pallet, this little soft-spoken creature, often referred to as an angel, turned and said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? He's not here. Why do you seek him here? He is gone. He is risen." Triumph? You think we know what triumph is? He is risen. Go and tell the others. To me, that is the greatest challenge anyone could put on the Christmas story. Go and tell the others. He is no longer here. He is gone. He is risen. That is triumph. It causes me to not only ask myself a question, but yesterday, sitting down in the living room, Barbara's out in the kitchen, puttering around with everything she does in the kitchen. And I'm thinking, I don't know about you, but times like this, names just, you know, Rolf Hellum up in Bucksport, Maine. Haven't seen him in 22 years, maybe, I think. I don't even know what he looks like. I had to call him. My sister Karen, who I probably talk to once a year, shame on me. I had to call. Did you ever get in that situation where you just sit and think, and just sit there and think of everything that's gone by you, and you know, it's almost, I feel ashamed of myself. Because there is so much that I owe people. So much I owe God, and so little time I really put and spend doing what God wants me to do. What are you sitting here crying for? He is risen. Go and tell the others. How are you doing? What happens to you today after this little service? This beautiful, precious time together. Friends all around us. People that we say we love. People that we respect. He's risen. When is the last time you told them? Even if it's your child, and you probably said it sometime in the past year, what's wrong with doing it again? He's risen. Go and tell the others. That's the greatest challenge, the greatest triumph you and I have, to speak out to the glory of God today. God's plan of salvation needs no support. God's plan of salvation is indeed the foundation of this tremendous challenge, because God so loved the world. The Shoshone Indian of our early West had a saying, and they told it to the white man in no uncertain terms. One time at a trading post out in northwestern Montana, Shoshone warriors stood up in front of a general, pulled down on his little bow tie, and said, "Hey," and he started to smile, then he started to laugh, and then he suddenly went in fits, and he looked at all of those white men, all those pony soldiers, and he looked at them, and he says, "Hey, one thing you have to know, only the sky and the rocks last forever. Everything else must die." Stone Age man. Everything else must die. How are you doing? God indeed so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him or trust in him or put his faith in him should not perish, but will live forever. We celebrate his triumph.